Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading MRT for June 28, 2024. Midland ISD Board approves 2024-25 budget by Kesley Salinas, staff writer. The Midland ISD School Board voted 6-1 to approve the budget for the 2024-2025 fiscal year. The budget reflects a total deficit in approximately $42.5 million for the district. The deficit is a result of the expiration of the Formula Transition Grant, FTG, which was established in state legislature in 2019 and aimed to ensure all Texas school districts received a minimum of 3% increase in per-student funding. According to the Texas School Coalition, the expiration of the FTG causes a financial deficit in more than 200 districts across the state. MISD's loss is estimated to be about $37.8 million and is a major reason the district is facing a deficit. Chief Financial Officer Tucker Durham said that the Board of Trustees and Administration anticipated the financial challenges that would come with the expiration of FTG. The district and the board have prepared for the Formula Transition Grant expiration. Durham said they have taken proactive measures to address this deficit. Board policy requires the district to keep a minimum of 3 months' worth of operating expenses in the general fund balance. The district currently has about 6 months of operating expenses in the fund balance and expect to have about 5 months worth at the end of the 2024-25 fiscal year. The total revenue in the budget is estimated at $488.16 million, and the total expenditure is estimated at $530.72 million. Recapture for the upcoming fiscal year is anticipated to be about $78.4 million. 93% of Midland dogs survive distemper due to vaccination. By B.K. Richter, staff writer, the City of Midland has confirmed that 93% of dogs rescued from the Midland Animal Shelter canine distemper crisis survived because they were vaccinated. During a 30-hour mass fostering effort held at the end of April, 130 dogs survived the canine distemper crisis that had broken out at the city's animal shelter. The city has now declared those 130 surviving dogs as symptom-free. The animal welfare nonprofit Fix West Texas reported its final results from the fostering effort in April. All of the 129 dogs who survived distemper are now fully cleared and symptom-free, Fix West Texas said in a press statement. Fix West Texas worked with several organizations, such as the City of Midland, Midland Animal Services, and other animal support groups, such as Sassy's Dog Rescue and Midland Animal Shelter Adoptables, during a mass foster effort to avoid the euthanasia of around 150 dogs, including the 129 that survived and have been declared symptom-free. It was an effort unseen by the city before, in that Midland Animal Shelter was cleared out so a massive cleaning and disinfection process could be completed. Additionally, Fix West Texas stated in its report that there were no spread of distemper within the community and its foster homes during this time. 93% of dogs rescued were able to survive this terrible disease because they were vaccinated by our city on intake, the report said. Fix West Texas' mission is to increase the quality of life for the pets and the people of West Texas by providing affordable preventative care, adoption services, and by building community partnerships. The organization's vet clinic services and pet pantry is located at 5023 Princeton, Suite 17 in Midland. Text 432-201-1124 or email registration at fixwesttexas.org for more information. Synergy Cinemas to open Social Darts Lounge Friday by B.K. Richter, staff writer. Odessa, Synergy Cinemas and Entertainment announced the grand opening of the Synergy Social Darts Lounge for Friday. The entertainment destination will include 11 new games on its game floor, including attractions such as Big Shot, Bigfoot Mayhem, Find a Key Deluxe, Goats and Ropes, Godzilla Kaiju Wars, VR, and more. According to Todd Monsell, Synergy's Vice President of Operations, the additions are a mix of arcade and virtual reality games. A lot of them we put in because they are competitive games such as driving games, classic arcade games, and even classic shooting games, he said during a phone interview Thursday. We also have a game called World Football Pro, which is a soccer game, and have added a game called Spider-Man Coin Pusher, where Spider-Man is being put through various challenges, he said. Monsell said, another new game called Godzilla Kaiju Wars VR is a virtual reality game with a multi-platform edition. We have had some virtual reality games for the past 5 years, and we have seen growth within that industry, especially as people get used to wearing the headsets, he said. The Synergy Social Darts Lounge also offers guests a selection of interactive virtual games, such as the newest attraction, 7D Thrill Ride. It is described as a rich, multi-sensory interactive attraction featuring advanced technology and special effects. Additionally, it supports group play, real-time 3D graphics, and an individual scoring system, creating a unique, fun, and competitive dynamic. On this ride, you wear three-dimensional glasses and experience a type of augmented reality, Monsell said. You shoot things on a screen, and it's on multi-gamer platform. The full list of new game floor additions include Big Shot, Bigfoot Mayhem, Find a Key Deluxe, Goats and Ropes, Godzilla Kaiju Wars VR, Skillfat Revolution, Sniper Strike 2, Spider-Man Coin Pusher, Ticket Ring, Ultimate Disc, and World Football Pro. Monsell said that all the games are family-friendly. However, the Synergy Social Darts area is available to guests 13 and up. Guests 13 to 17 are required to have a participating guardian. After 8 p.m., the bar and the darts area is open to guests 21 and up. We are really excited to bring the Social Darts Lounge to the area, Monsell said. It's just like bowling, and that it's a game that everybody can play. He also added that in addition to being a family-friendly environment, corporate groups are welcome to rent the space for team-building events. Family of ex-Texas U.S. representative announced resolution to claim after her death. By Ken Miller, Associated Press, the family of former U.S. Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson announced an agreement Thursday with the Dallas Rehabilitation Center over her death. Family attorney Les Wisbrod said during a news conference in Dallas that Baylor Scott & White Institute for Rehabilitation agreed to an unspecified donation to the Eddie Bernice Johnson Lives Foundation and will name a nursing scholarship in the name of the trailblazing Texas Congresswoman. Wisbrod said in January that Johnson died from an infection after being found in her own feces and urine at the facility following back surgery. He accused the facility of neglect at the time. Wisbrod, who had said a lawsuit would be filed against the facility, declined to say how much Baylor Scott & White would donate. He said no legal action was filed because the facility reached out to resolve the matter. Wisbrod and Baylor initiated discussions for the resolution and was very generous in its donation. When we can do good deeds and avoid a lawsuit, that's a win-win for everybody involved, Wisbrod said. Johnson's son, Kirk Johnson, said his family is ready to move forward and through the foundation support organizations such as education, women's rights, family stability, and world peace. We are at peace. We have to accept God's will, but her initiatives, her interests, will continue to live, Kirk Johnson said. Wisbrod said he has also been assured by Baylor that the facility is reviewing its policies and procedures to prevent future neglect. In a statement, the facility called Johnson an inspiration. It has long been our priority to help her life's work live on. According to the statement, working with her family, we are pleased to name a nursing scholarship program in her honor. Johnson, the first registered nurse elected to Congress, died on December 31st at the age of 89. Johnson, a Democrat, served in the House for 3 decades, leaving office in January 2023 after repeatedly delaying her retirement. Pure Green Midland to open juice and smoothie shop by B.K. Richter, staff writer. For Midlanders, Dora Braun and Mahela Madrid, opening a juice smoothie shop within the area was more than just a business opportunity. For both women, it was a way to share healthy options with others seeking more nutritional options. We have a lot of supplements to add to our items, but there are no fillers such as sugar or ice, said fitness instructor and co-owner Madrid. So you are filling up on natural ingredients. Pure Green Midland will open at its new location, 200 Spring Park Drive, Suite 102 in Ally Village. The grand opening to the public is slated from 9 a.m. until 8 p.m. on Saturday, with a special soft opening scheduled as a VIP family and friends event set for Friday. Braun and Madrid aim to provide Midland residents with access to nutritious and satisfying food options. Pure Green will offer a diverse range of products, including no-sugar-added juices and smoothies. Superfood toasts, oats, and bowls will also join the menu. Ron credits her two children with finding a need to change her lifestyle and start a more nutritious lifestyle. "I want to live as long as I can, so I started my fitness journey a few years ago," she said during a phone interview with the Reporter Telegram. "The larger cities are much easier to find these types of places, but not here in Midland, so we knew that it was going to be a necessity here." According to the company's website, customers can expect superfoods and smoothies that are handcrafted and made to order. One of the smoothies offered will be the Purple Haze, a combination of blueberries, strawberries, bananas, spirulina, plant-based protein, and coconut water. Another smoothie is dubbed Pure Power, offering a mixture of cauliflower, almond butter, coconut butter, grass-fed whey protein, almond milk, and cinnamon. The blue banana smoothie contains blue spirulina, acai, banana grass-fed whey protein, cashew butter, coconut butter, and almond milk. As far as the acai and pitaya bowls, pure green acai bowls are made with organic and wild-harvested acai sourced directly from Brazil. Customers can expect menu selections such as the pure pitaya, a dragon fruit blended with mango, pineapple, and coconut water with toppings such as blueberries, strawberries, and hemp granola. There is also the almond butter and hemp bowl consisting of a base of acai blended with bananas and almond milk. The toppings include almond butter and hemp granola. Customers will also see the avocado smash toast, which is sprouted grain toast, avocado, lemon, red pepper flakes, and pink Himalayan sea salt. In my opinion, I feel like our smoothies with protein will be a bestseller because we have people here trying to hit their fitness goals. Madrid said, for that age group between 20 and 30 years old, we don't currently have those options here for whole organic with whey protein. That is what we aim to change. Another major addition is the introduction of cold-pressed juices that are non-GMO and kosher-based. Pure Green says the benefit of cold-pressed juices is that the drink retains the vitamins, minerals, and live enzymes from the fresh fruits and vegetables. Many of our cold-pressed juice flavors contain up to 5 pounds of fresh fruits and vegetables in a single bottle, said Pure Green's website. Every time I would go out of town, I could find cold-pressed juices, but not in Midland, Braun said. The juice cleanses help guide you. I am super stoked about it. It is a lot of superfoods and vitamins that we need. Another menu option that may wow customers is the addition of cold-pressed juice shots. The juice shots offer a quick pick-me-up of 2 ounces of fresh nutrition. Menu options include items such as the Blue Biotic Shot, consisting of ginger, lemon, filtered water, blue algae, and probiotics. The Heartbeat Shot consists of beet, pomegranate, lime, and black pepper. We are really just excited to bring this to Midland, both Braun and Madrid said. We love it out here, and driving it here to our home was very important to us. For more information about Pure Green Midland, visit www.puregreen.com.
Hello, my name is Susie Haynes, and this is the local news from the Odessa American, Saturday, June 22nd, 2024. Trash, water remain top issues in Odessa. Records show 10 trucks ordered last year by Kim Smith. It's still going to be a while before Odessans will begin to see twice-weekly trash pickups, but the situation is slowly getting better, Odessa City Manager John Beckmeyer said Thursday. Within the next 30 days, the first of 7 new trash trucks ordered by Equipment Services Director Chris Adams will arrive, and 2 more are expected in mid-August. They will join the 10 that were ordered by the previous administration that have arrived since the last quarter of 2023. According to Odessa spokeswoman Monica Quintero, 4 more trucks are at the dealer waiting to be delivered to the body manufacturer, and Adams expects to receive those in September or October. 15 additional trucks will arrive in the first half of next year, she said. For months, Odessans have only been getting their trash picked up once a week instead of the normal twice a week because 18 out of the 38 trucks were out of service, according to records obtained by the Odessa American through the Texas Public Information Act. Back in December, Beckmeyer explained that past administrators weren't replacing trucks at the end of their true useful life, and they started breaking down, leaving staff scrambling to find parts at a time when there's been a nationwide shortage. Beckmeyer said Thursday that by early 2026, the city will be fully stocked with trucks. He also said he'd just received some good news that will help with the ongoing trash issues. We found another diesel mechanic, repair shop, whatever you want to call it, that has access to even more parts nationwide, and they're starting to deal with them to try to get some of the ones that are broke down right now back on the road, Beckmeyer said. Chris has done a really marvelous job of going out and trying to find the alternatives to this. Beckmeyer said the city may not be back up to twice weekly pickups for a while yet, but they're not missing any pickups now. He said the number of resident complaints has dropped off precipitously. In other matters, Beckmeyer said, requests for quotes to make badly needed improvements at the Darrington Wastewater Treatment Plant will go out within the next week or 10 days. He expects the contractors will bring funding mechanisms to the table with them. Beckmeyer said he and others have determined that the city will not be able to use Odessa Development Corporation funds to leverage bonds for the Darrington plant or other infrastructure needs, an idea floated by Councilmember Steve Thompson. Thompson had noted the ODC has roughly $23 million to $25 million in uncommitted funds, and he thought the city could issue revenue bonds through the Economic Development Group. Beckmeyer said that after speaking with attorneys, he learned that the way the ODC is set up would prohibit that. However, Beckmeyer said he was encouraged to hear the city may qualify for state or federal funds after meeting with the Texas Water Development Board. Thompson, State Representative Brooks Landgraf, State Senator Kevin Sparks, and ODC representatives. Mr. Kevin Niles in Utilities is continuing those conversations. He's getting the applications for the different programs because they've got a list of a half a dozen or more programs where we may be able to qualify on that, Beckmeyer said. Beckmeyer said he doesn't know how much is available in total, but he'll take anything he can get. I know the state funding was quite large this past session, where it hasn't been in the past, and we're talking into the billions of dollars, not millions of dollars, Beckmeyer said. I believe looking at the different projects they have, we can qualify on multiple projects. It's going to be significant where before it wasn't. What I'm told, it wasn't significant. They weren't well-funded before. Regardless of what happens with outside funding, Beckmeyer said he and city staff are currently preparing next year's budget, and he plans to devote every resource he can to infrastructure. And that could mean that we have to not do some things that we might have done in the past, Beckmeyer said. He didn't have any specifics, but he said they are working even harder on zero-based budgeting than they did last year. Hotel occupancy tax funds to be discussed at City Council by Kim Smith, Monday, June 24, 2024. Hotel occupancy tax funds are on the Odessa City Council's agenda for Tuesday night. 21 agencies have asked for a portion of the city's hotel occupancy tax funds this year, and another six are seeking general funds. This will be the first year the City Council will be making decisions as to which agencies should get the funding with the help of a committee who reviewed each application to determine how many heads in beds they were responsible for. Last March, the council voted to stop funding downtown Odessa after city manager John Beckmeyer said the city has been illegally funding the organization by using hotel occupancy taxes. According to Beckmeyer, the city had been providing downtown Odessa $450,000 a year for the last 5 years, even though the rules state HOT funds can only be used for things that enhance tourism. and the convention and hotel industry. While downtown Odessa draws tens of thousands of people through events like Firecracker Fandango and the Parade of Lights, those don't put heads in beds, he said. On Thursday, Beckmeyer said Scott Joslov, president and CEO of the Texas Hotel and Lodging Association, came in and did a training with the agencies. They all went through it and came in with good justifications of how they're putting heads in beds. We were able to go through and have a good feeling that we are in compliance with the rules around HOT fund distributions, and I'm very excited about that, Beckmeyer said. The committee went through the applications and ranked them based on true quantitative measures instead of a subjective measure. It really gives me a lot of confidence in our results, he said. It's exciting to me because we're doing it right. In the past, the decision-making has resulted in a marathon meeting, but he doesn't expect that Tuesday night, Beckmeyer said. During Tuesday's meeting, Traffic Operations Supervisor Joseph Goff also plans to ask the council for just under $67,000 to purchase stencils that would be used to paint Odessa streets. According to materials provided to the council, the stencils will ensure that road markings are clear and precise and are crucial for maintaining orderly traffic flow and ensuring the safety of both drivers and pedestrians. The stencils would come from Gaveco Markings, a Gainesville, Georgia company. In addition, the council will consider giving the Girl Scouts of the Desert Southwest a 99-year lease on the building they're already renting at 5217 North Dixie Boulevard. They will discuss selling the former Fire Station No. 6 to Town & Country Drug for $270,000. The original agreement called for the company to pay $350,000, but issues with the building have since been discovered. Consider resurfacing the McKinney Playground, which isn't ADA compliant, for roughly $112,400. During the council's work session at 3 p.m., the council will discuss issuing requests for qualifications for the Darrington Wastewater Treatment Plant, discuss an $83,500 bid to remove asbestos and demolish the Shredder Building, and discuss accepting a 3.85-acre park that's been developed by Lico Properties and the Odessa Parks Foundation in the Desert Ridge subdivision. Continue discussing term limits and prohibiting former mayors from becoming council members.
One Objective grants five ECISD grads $5K for college. June 27, 2024 by staff report. One Objective, a nonprofit that provides youth mentoring and resources, recently granted $5,000 in scholarships to five Ector County ISD graduates. Students were awarded the Pathways by One Objective Scholarship and Anthony Bolton Scholarship, named after a recently passed member of the organization. The former scholarship recognizes students who demonstrated academic excellence and personal strengths of character and perseverance, while the latter honors Bolton's legacy by supporting students who have shown resilience, leadership, and dedication to their studies. Recipients were selected based on an application and essay submission. Scholarship recipients include Rihanna Coker of Odessa Collegiate Academy, who will attend Texas Southern University next year, Viviana Montesino Rios, Permian High School, the University of Texas Permian Basin, Alexia Nora Rodriguez, Permian High School, UTPB, Ashlyn Elliott, Permian High School, Sam Houston State University, and Kubra Kochak, New Tech Odessa, University of Texas, not pictured. Find this story at 2 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas radio station at www.recordinglibrary.org live stream. David Wood named head baseball coach at Odessa College. June 26, 2024 by staff report. David Wood, who most recently served as interim head coach at San Jacinto College in Houston, accepted the position as the new head baseball coach for the Odessa College OC Wranglers program. OC announced today he will succeed Curtis Lay, who led OC to over 300 wins, 7 postseason trips, and multiple national rankings before departing from the program after 10 years. Wood has proven himself as both a player and a coach. He earned second-team all-conference awards at Texas State University before he played in the Kansas City Royals minor league system for 3 years. In his coaching years, Woods held multiple roles at the University of St. Edward's University in Austin from August 2011 to July 2021, including assistant head coach. He would later serve as a head coach at the University of St. Thomas in Houston, helping lead the team to the conference tournament in 2022 in its first year of eligibility. His career would next lead him to the role of assistant coach at San Jacinto College, where he would eventually take the role as interim head coach. In that program, Wood contributed to a 40-21 record and appearance in the NJCAA Super Regional Tournament. OC Athletic Director Wayne Baker said Wood's record speaks for itself and also pointed out the new coach's focus on academic excellence. At St. Edward's University, Wood supervised study halls for the team, helping maintain a team GPA over 3.0 every semester from fall 2012. His prior coaching roles at the University of St. Thomas and St. Edward's University underline his commitment to both academic and athletic excellence, Baker said. As a former all-conference pitcher and experienced pitching coach, he is poised to bring significant value to the OC baseball program. We are excited to welcome him and look forward to his contributions both on and off the field. Wood said he's excited to join the OC family. The baseball program has had a very good track record of success, and I look forward to continuing the winning ways, he said. I would like to thank Dr. Williams and Wayne for this opportunity. My family and I are looking forward to being a part of the Wranglers family. Wood earned his associate's degree from Temple College in Temple, Texas, and a bachelor's degree from Texas State University in San Marcos. He and his wife, Randy, share three children.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, June 27th. Tattoos lead to burglary arrest. Tattoos led to the arrest of an Odessa man on a burglary charge Tuesday. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a West 33rd Street resident called 911 on June 5th to report someone came into a window and stole items, including several guns. The man provided police video surveillance that showed a man walking up to his house with a black glove on, try the front door, and then walk toward the back of the house, the report stated. On a second video, the same man is seen walking away from the home with a large black bag that looks like a rifle bag. The suspect had a tattoo covering most of his neck and all of his right arm, and after speaking to neighbors and looking at Facebook, a detective was able to identify him as James Williams III, the report stated. A warrant for Williams was issued, and he was booked into the Ector County Jail Tuesday on suspicion of burglary of a habitation, a second-degree felony. He remained in custody Wednesday on a $25,000 surety bond. Council hands out $500,000 in hot funds. The Odessa City Council awarded nearly $3.5 million in hotel occupancy tax funds during a quick one-hour meeting Tuesday night. 21 agencies asked for a portion of the city's hotel occupancy tax funds this year, and another six were seeking general funds. This was the first year the City Council made decisions as to which agencies should get the funding with the help of a committee who reviewed each application to determine how many heads and beds they were responsible for. The following agencies asked for $3.97 million in funding and received the following: Commemorative Air Force, $80,000. Discover Odessa, $1,502,300. Discover Odessa SERP, $250,000. Jackalopes Holding, $50,000. Odessa Junior Jacks Youth Hockey, $15,000. Junior League of Odessa, $15,000. Odessa Arts, $500,000. Texas Crime Stoppers Conference, $20,500. Permian Basin Fair and Expo, $100,000. Sand Hills Stock Show, $200,000. Showbiz West Texas, $20,000. Special Olympics, $250,000. 8 Any International Meeting of Countries, $20,000. UTPB Athletic Events, $321,000. West Texas Track Club, $90,000. White Pool House Friends, $50,000. The Black Cultural Council of Odessa requested $100,000, and the 53rd Tejano Super Show requested $90,000 this year. The committee recommended the Cultural Council receive nothing out of the hot funds and $50,000 out of the general fund, and the City Council agreed. The committee recommended the Super Show receive $20,000, and the Council gave them nothing. The Council followed the committee's recommendations otherwise. The following agencies asked for a total of more than $406,000 and received a combined $305,000 from the city's general fund. Children's Miracle Network, $50,000. Odessa Crime Stoppers, $65,000. Odessa Teen Court, $40,000. Permia Care, $90,000. Young Professionals of Odessa, $10,000. Black Cultural Council of Odessa, $50,000. The City Council followed all but one of the committee's recommendations when it came to the general fund. Odessa Teen Court Program Coordinator Rebecca Grisham said she originally requested $44,593, but later she amended and asked for $80,000 after learning Ector County isn't funding any nonprofits this year. She said she received a letter from Director of Finance Kaylee Banda on June 14th informing her the committee would be recommending they be awarded $89,185. They ended up receiving the $40,000. City spokeswoman Monica McDaniel confirmed Banda informed the committee about the amended teen court request on June 14th, and the committee recommended the committee receive $89,185. It's unclear if or when the committee and the City Council became aware Grisham amended her request because of the county. Last year, Odessa Teen Court received $50,000 when they asked for $72,260. Council members Denise Swanner and Mark Motter recluse themselves from the teen court discussion last year. Program coordinator Rebecca Grisham had fired Swanner from her position as assistant coordinator earlier in the year, and Motter serves on the program's board. At the time, Grisham said she suspected her firing of Swanner led to the council's funding decision. Mata again recused himself this year, but Swanner recommended teen court receive $40,000. In other matters, the council approved the purchase of $67,000 worth of stencils that will be used to paint Odessa streets. Approved a 99-year lease with the Girl Scouts of the Desert Southwest for the building at 5217 North Dixie Boulevard. Sold the former fire station number 6 to Town and Country Drug for $270,000. Agreed to resurface the McKinney Playground, which isn't ADA compliant, for roughly $112,400. During the council's work session, the council informally approved the request for qualifications that will be posted for the Darrington Wastewater Treatment Plant, discussed an $83,500 bid to remove asbestos and demolish the Shredder building, discussed accepting a 3.85-acre park that will be funded by LECO Properties and the Odessa Park Foundation in the Desert Ridge Subdivision. continue discussing term limits and prohibiting former mayors from becoming council members. Boy and woman killed in separate crashes. An Odessa boy was killed Tuesday afternoon in a two-vehicle crash that also injured five people. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, a 37-year-old Midland woman driving a Chevrolet 1500 disregarded an official traffic control device at FM 554 and Cottonwood Road around 1:15 p.m. and struck a GMC Acadia being driven by a 61-year-old woman from Andrews. Both drivers received minor injuries, but one of the Acadia passengers died, and three others in the Acadia were seriously injured. Everyone involved was wearing a seatbelt, according to DPS. According to DPS, Catherine Ann Koonsman, 53, of Rawls, died early Wednesday morning in a two-vehicle crash in Andrews County. A preliminary investigation revealed Koonsman was traveling east on State Highway 176 in a Mack ZXU when she was struck while trying to make a U-turn by a tractor trailer that was being driven westbound by a 38-year-old man from Casa Grande, Arizona. Koonsman was pronounced dead at the scene of the crash, which happened around 3:40 a.m. The other driver was seriously injured. Both were wearing seat belts. Both crashes remained under investigation. Biology camp gives kids a jump start on science. Getting up close and personal with bacteria, fetal pigs, and nature are just some of the things participants in University of Texas Permian Basin's biology camp got to experience this week on campus. Camp coordinator and biology lecturer Paula Gutierrez said there were 13 participants from 13 to 18 years old. Laith Hilal, 13, is going into 8th grade at Nimitz Middle School, and Mali Sanchez, 12, is going into 8th grade at STEM Academy. Both wanted to try something different for summer camp this year. On June 26, they were dissecting fetal pigs, something only college students usually get to do. It's pretty cool. I mean, anything that involves altering bacterial genes, dissecting pigs, and extracting DNA from bananas for some reason is pretty cool, Halil said. Sanchez said she'd never really done anything with biology before. I just wanted to try something new because I've never really done anything like dissecting or really like doing much with bacteria, really much of anything about biology, she added. Sanchez said, it's been really fun, even now, which I'm kind of squirming about a little, she said. Last year, Gutierrez, who was leading a section of anatomy June 26, said the kids chose to dissect a starfish, clam, and an earthworm. But this year, we thought it's really focused on the pig, and that way we can focus on going through all the body organs with them, she said. They are trying to make the camp more comprehensive this year. We are trying to make sure that we keep it a really wide breadth of information, Gutierrez said. She said June 26 that the camp has been going well so far. We tried to keep all our topics very, very broad so that we can expose them to more things. So we're trying to each day focus on one particular area of biology. Today would be anatomy. Yesterday was microbiology. They bioengineered bacteria to make it glow in the dark. The day before, that's genetics, and so we extracted DNA from some bananas. Then tomorrow, June 27th, will be field ecology. We'll go outside. We'll take a little field trip pasture, and we'll collect some measurements from out there, Gutierrez said. She added that the camp gives the kids a head start on things they'll be learning later on in their educational careers. These kids are doing some things that, like the pig for example, college students dissect the pig, but the owl pellets, we don't do that here at UTPB. That's something that our college students are really excited about. They want to try it out, Gutierrez said. With the pig, she said, you can see the organs really well. The kids had worksheets to see how many organs they could identify. Jennifer Nutting is a UTPB student working with a biology camp. I wish my kids were old enough to be here. It teaches them a lot about science. I like it, Nutting said. Wonder Girls Camp offers chance for fun STEM activities. From STEM activities to kickboxing and a field trip to Chevron, 26 girls are participating in this year's edition of Wonder Girls Camp. Organized by the Crisis Center of West Texas, the camp runs for a week at Crossroads Fellowship. 8020 has brought it in again this year for the camp, and the theme was outer space. Culligan offered a water demonstration, and there was a career day where different professionals shared things about their careers. The last day of camp was a field trip to Chevron. Kickboxing and dance were also offered. Culligan donated all the water for the week-long camp that ends June 28th, and we're going to explain the chemistry of water, for example, Prevention Education Director Alejandro Ramirez said. The first day, campers were shy, but by Wednesday, she'd noticed a big difference. They've got more energy. They're excited, Ramirez said. This is the eighth edition of the camp, and the first year, the theme has been outer space. Ramirez said it takes more than 6 months to plan. For volunteers, they get older high school students who might need community service, but they also have a couple of nurses from Medical Center Hospital that are giving of their time, and in the past, they have had Ector County ISD teachers. 8020, the group that we bring to do the STEM activities, they have been doing like rockets with them, drones, so I feel like a lot of the activities have also incorporated with the new theme, Ramirez said. Gigi Valerio, a 13-year-old 7th grader at St. Mary's Central Catholic Church, and Jade Riagoja, an 8th grader at Bonham Middle School, are both returning campers. This is Valerio's third and last year, and Riagoja's second. Valerio said she likes that they get to learn new things every year like robots, making ice cream and making a watermelon explode with rubber bands. She also is looking forward to the field trip to Chevron on the last day of camp. Riagoja said learning robotics and the other fun activities they do keeps her coming back. They both said they learn at camp was very useful when they go back to school. I did learn how to do coding and also how to work robots and robotics and fix puzzles and solve them while doing it, Valerio said. Riagoja said learning robotics at camp helps her when she was in robotics at school because she already knew how to code some of the stuff. Valerio said she had noticed the change in theme of the camp this year. There's a lot of new kids that I noticed, not the same old ones, have come back, just the new ones. And I noticed that they were very excited about it and wanted to learn more about it, she added. Obituaries. Gilberto Razo Valenzuela Jr. Gilberto Razo Valenzuela Jr., 60, of Odessa, died Saturday, June 15th in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. June 25th at American Heritage Funeral Home, burial immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery, Deacon Victor Lopez officiating. Yulisa Mary Ramirez. Yulisa Mary Ramirez, 15, of Odessa, died Wednesday, June 19th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. June 26th at St. Mary's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Isabel Lozano Jr. Isabel Lozano Jr. died Sunday, June 23rd in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Phyllis Aline Bynum Sybers. Phyllis Aline Sybers Bynum, 73, of Odessa, died Thursday, June 20th in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 1 p.m. June 27th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Apostle Dr. Donnie Raleigh is officiating. Douglas E. Ashmore. No services have been scheduled for Douglas E. Ashmore, 80, of Marble Falls, who died Tuesday, June 18th in Odessa. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland.
Scam alert! $600 Social Security increase in June is false, by Tony King. On Friday, June the 14th, Social Security released this statement on the SSA.gov website. Alert! Reports of a $600 payment increase in June are false. No COLA increase will occur until January 2025. I felt it was my duty to make you aware of this announcement. Inspector General Gail S. Ennis stated in the scam alert, the annual cost of living increases issued by SSA are always automatic. No additional information is required for you to receive the legitimate COLA increase. Ennis advised recipients of the scam-related attempts to steal their identity or their money or both to safeguard their personal information. Social Security Commissioner Martin O'Malley advised America to please be aware and don't fall for this stunt. O'Malley advised that SSA sends notices directly to beneficiaries in early December regarding the SSA amount for the upcoming January payments. Visit ssa.gov/myaccount to view your COLA online once the new Social Security adjustment is announced. Below are a few tips to help protect you against Social Security, Medicare, or IRS fraud. Have a safety script by your phone for scam or fraud calls. Tell anyone, especially scammers, you do not give out personal information over the phone. Get your kids or a friend to help you write your script. For scam fraud emails, do not open the email or reply back. Just delete the scam fraud email. If you are not comfortable with deleting the email yourself, or if you are uncertain of its legitimacy, show it to your kids or a friend who helps you stay safe. Never give your Medicare or Social Security number to strangers who call you on the phone, come knocking on your door, or ask for it in an email. Just like you tell your grandkids not to talk with or reply to email from strangers, you need not talk to them either. Play the stranger danger game for yourself. Do not accept free offers in exchange for your Medicare number. Remember, nothing is free. These scammers will have Medicare pay for whatever they are offering, and they will use your Medicare number to get it paid for. Social Security, Medicare, and IRS fraud is exploding, so please let your friends and family members know what I have just told you. Americans need to stand together and stop those who only want to make a fast dollar from Medicare, your checking account, credit card, and most of all from you. For a Medicare checkup, call the Tony Says Medicare Call Center at 832-519-8664 or email info@tonisays.com. Tony's Medicare Survival Guide Advanced Edition is available at TonySays.com. Tony's Medicare Moments articles have just been released at FamilyTalkToday.com. Medicare Moments.
Mainly Midland. Juneteenth celebrations and West Texas Super Show. Juneteenth Parade. Head to the Juneteenth Parade with your family and friends. Details. The Juneteenth Parade at 10 a.m. Saturday. Parade lineup starts at the Coleman Family Clinic parking lot and will end at Washington Park. Bourbon Street, D.C. Juneteenth celebrations. Celebrate Juneteenth weekend with Bourbon Street, D.C. Details. Bourbon Street, D.C. will host various events throughout the weekend to celebrate Juneteenth. Bourbon Street, D.C. will join the Juneteenth parade on Saturday morning with the Rig Riders motorcycle community riding to represent them. They also invite other riders to join them at a cost of $10 per rider. Bourbon Street, D.C. will host a happy hour following the parade from 2 to 6 p.m., featuring $5 Hennessy, $6 Patron, $7 gin and juice. Sunday features a brunch day party at the bar from 2 to 6 p.m. Food trucks will be on site. Tickets cost $20 at the door. West Texas Super Show. The 2024 West Texas Super Show offers cool cars, live music, and family-friendly entertainment. Details. The West Texas Super Show will take place on Saturday at the Ector County Coliseum. A car show will feature unique lowriders, motorcycles, and trucks. In addition to the car show, there will be live music including legendary Norteño band Los Rieleros del Norte. Advance tickets cost $35. Drilling activity continues downward trend. Uncertain commodity prices, uncertainty over demand, and a focus on returning capital to investors continue to weigh on the nation's drilling activity. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday the U.S. rig count it has issued weekly since 1944 fell for a third consecutive week, dropping two rigs to 588 for the week, and again the lowest level since January 2022. That's 94 rigs, or 14% below the 682 rigs counted last June. The number of rigs drilling for crude fell three rigs to 485, also the lowest level since January 2022, and down 61 rigs from 546 last year. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas was unchanged at 98 for a third consecutive week, and the lowest level since October 2021, down 32 rigs from 130 last year. Texas lost three rigs to see 282 rigs active statewide, 63 fewer rigs than the 345 reported last June. New Mexico was unchanged at 108. Oklahoma, 2, joined Texas as a producing state to see a decline, while California, 1, Louisiana, 1, and North Dakota, 2, saw increases. The Permian Basin dropped one rig for 308 at work across the region, the lowest level since January, and down 33 rigs from 341 counted last year. According to Reuters, Goldman Sachs expects the Permian rig count to move roughly sideways this year, edging down below 300 by the end of 2026. Eddy County, New Mexico, remains the most active county in the Permian, reporting 53 rigs for a fourth consecutive week. Lee County, New Mexico, follows with 51 rigs, unchanged for the week. Martin County fell two rigs to 30. Reeves County had 23 rigs at work within county lines for a fifth week, while Loving County had 22 for a second week. Midland County fell two rigs to 18 for the week. Reagan County was unchanged at 17 rigs. Upton County also was unchanged at 15 rigs, and Howard County jumped three rigs to 12 for the week. Ward County reported 10 rigs for an eighth consecutive week. Borden County saw no activity this week, losing the one rigs at work within county lines. Energy Dedicated Software as a Service firm in Veris said its U.S. rig count for the week ended June 14th rose three rigs to 628, still down 109 rigs, or 15% from 737 rigs a year earlier. The number of rigs drilling for crude fell three rigs to 185, 251 rigs, or 58% below the 436 rigs seeking crude last June. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas dipped 1 to 104 rigs, 88 rigs, or 46% below the 192 drilling for natural gas last year. ExxonMobil topped the list of operators by rig count with 38 rigs, down one for the week. ConocoPhillips was next with 32 rigs, up one, and EOG Resources was operating 29 rigs, unchanged for the week. Enverus reported the Permian Basin had 312 rigs for the week ended June 14th, up one rig but down 48 rigs, or 13%, from 360 a year earlier. The most active play, the Delaware Basin, had 164 rigs, down three for the week, and down 29 rigs, or 15%, from 193 a year ago. The Midland Basin gained a rig for 124 rigs, still down 17 rigs, or 12%, from 141 a year ago. According to Enverus, trailing 30-day drilling permits, the Permian had 773 permits for the week ended May 31st, down from 826 the previous week, but up from 686 a year earlier. The Permian had 94 frac crews active during the week ended May 21st, up from 91 the previous week, but down from 161 the previous year. Oil prices rise for second week in row. Crude prices posted a second consecutive weekly gain amid signs of improving U.S. oil demand and falling fuel inventories. West Texas Intermediate rose 3 of 4 trading days on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Prices opened a holiday-shortened week with a $1.88 jump that sent prices back above $80. A $1.24 gain followed. Prices retreated Friday, the first day of August, as the near-month contract, undercut by concerns about global demand growth being impacted by a strong U.S. dollar and negative economic news from elsewhere in the world. WTI fell 56 cents to close at $80.73, up from $78.45 at last Friday's close. The posted price ended the week at $77.21, according to Plains All American. Natural gas futures fell 3 of 4 trading days on the NYMEX. Morningstar DBS reports that record high temperatures have sent natural gas prices higher amid demand for gas-powered electricity. But the analytical company says ample natural gas storage is expected to moderate any price increases. Tuesday's 12-cent jump in prices was more than offset by the 17-cent plunge seen Thursday. Natural gas futures dropped an additional 3.6 cents Friday to close the week at $2.705 per MCF, down from $2.886 at last Friday's close. Quote, oil prices have been in a fairly stable trading range of late, but I think they will tend to be in the upper part of that range, above $80, more often than not for the next few months, end quote. Economist Ray Perryman told the Reporter Telegram by email. He attributed that prediction to several factors. The normal summer spike in demand, escalating tension in the Middle East, particularly the Israel-Hamas situation, a likely difficult hurricane season, and some conditions in financial markets that favor hedging. In the natural gas market, quote, the recent heat wave has increased power demand and brought prices back from the very low levels that we have seen recently. Market participants are also coming to realize that data centers, crypto mining, and especially AI are driving sustained increase in domestic demand. There will be some volatility as storage and weather conditions fluctuate, but the trend should generally tend to be stable to modestly upward, end quote, he wrote.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.